Buckle up and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Rolled up to my Chevrolet, I climbed down up inside. I pulled the choke and I turned the key, but the old girl wouldn't start. She let out a whine so pitiful, it nearly broke my heart.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name's Mark Salem, and for the next 2 hours, we're here at your service to help you with your car questions and car problems, and there's really nothing out of bounds, except we're not going to name names if we're going to talk bad about somebody, okay? So you can do everything but name names, and please don't do that. But, on the other hand, if you have a good story where somebody really took care of you, then that's okay. So you can call in 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. They're located at Main Street and Stapley, just east on the south side of the road. They've been around since 1970, so that means like 42 years. They're equipped to handle anything on your foreign and domestic cars. And if they're not, they're like all the rest of us in the sense that they'll guide you to somebody who's better. Sometimes we don't have the equipment. Sometimes your car is one of those cars that doesn't even make up 1% of all the cars in the road, and we're just not the best person for that particular job. Now, there's lots of guys in town that will do oil changes on Saabs and brakes on Saabs, but when it comes to doing major motor work or pulling a clutch on those, you're going to need an expert. But Thompson's Auto Repair Towing is a AAA approved shop. They're an ASE certified Blue Seal shop, and they were named Business of the Year in 2009 by the Mesa Chamber of Commerce. I'm glad to have Thompson's Auto Repair on our list of the best car repair shops, and you can find that
caller
list
John.
At MarkSalem.com, MarkSalem.com. And rather than talk, we're going to go to the first caller because that's what we do best. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. Got a question for you. Hey. I have a 2004 Ford Taurus with a V6 engine 3.0. And I had the cam sensor replaced in it. And since I've had that done, when I first start up in the morning on the road, it makes a noise like this. And then it'll stop. And then when it goes to shift into, or as soon as it shifts into overdrive, it does the same thing again. For a little while. But when it warms up, it goes away.
How many miles are on the Taurus?
63,000.
Okay. Now, what you need to do to help us fix your car, help our industry fix your car, is you need to find out what you do to change that noise. So, for instance, in the morning when you start it up, you've got this humming noise.
Well, only when I get out on the street and give it gas.
Okay.
And now, it's like when it changes, goes a little faster, that's maybe what stops the noise.
Okay.
And then when I go into overdrive, it comes back again until the speed changes.
Okay.
But then when it warms up, I don't hear it.
All right. As you can well imagine, noises are kind of hard to do over the radio. Could it be an alternator whine? Could it be a whining noise that is related to the speed of the motor?
No.
Is it?
It started as soon as the new cam sensor was put in.
John, I'm going in a different direction. I don't care about the cam sensor.
Okay.
What I want to know is this noise, the speed of this noise, is it related to the speed of the vehicle or the speed of the engine? Or neither?
The speed of the vehicle.
Okay.
When I notice it.
Okay. So when you accelerate, first thing in the morning, as you accelerate and the car goes from 10, 15, 20, 25, the noise goes with the speedometer, right?
Just for a little while, then it stops.
Okay. Well, someone's going to have to listen to this because you've pretty much eliminated the engine. Okay? This is
really?
Well, think about it. If the speed is related to the speed of the car...
Yeah.
And not the engine. They're two different things. two different things. If it was related to the speed of the engine, you should be able to just put it in park and make the noise happen, or put it in neutral and make the noise happen. Can you do that?
Well, I haven't tried it that way, but why would it come back when it goes into overdrive?
Well, you're asking a question that who cares?
Yeah,
the question is once I hear and fix the problem, then I can tell you why it was related to overdrive.
Yeah.
But you're asking a question kind of, we got to find it first, and then we can answer the question. But
yeah,
it's not an unusual question, but it'll all wash out in the wash. It
yeah
could be, if you go down the road and you throw it in neutral. Now, I'm not suggesting you do this, because you need to have done it before many times to know what the safety issues are. We drive down the road, and maybe you're riding with your shop owner or a tech from your shop. And he says, do you hear it now? And you go, yeah. And he throws it up in neutral and turns the key off at 65 miles an hour on the 101.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, do you still hear it, John? And you go, yeah, I do. Well, he's just eliminated the engine, the transmission. He's eliminated everything. So
yeah,
what we're at now is a wheel bearing or something that's moving without the benefit of the engine, which is the front drive axles, all the wheel bearings, all the tires, all the wheels, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know. What part of town are you in?
I'm in Peoria.
Okay, and do you have a shop that you like that you regularly...
Yeah, I do, but see, the thing is, the reason I haven't gone back, it goes away as soon as the engine warms up.
Okay, that's
not
hard.
You don't get the noise, so it means I got to leave the car overnight, I guess.
Yeah, you got to leave the car overnight, and if you want, which is really great, is to be there first thing in the morning, and you park it in the parking lot the night before. You go home, you come back in the morning, you got your keys in your pocket, and you say, hey, could I? And don't do this on Monday morning or Friday morning, okay? This is a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday morning for obvious reasons, but just go in and just say, can you have your... I want the guy with the biggest ears to go on a test drive with me. I want the guy that hears everything. I want the guy that has ears like Mickey Mouse.
Uh-huh.
And then you're going to drive it and show him, and then if he's smart, he's going to take the wheel from you, and he's going to say, it's happening right now, right? Yes? Okay. Now, I'm going to make it go away, right? Yeah. Okay, good. We're done. So then he knows what it is, and at that point he can give you an estimate. Then once you know it's gone, then you say to him, why is it that the overdrive was affected, or why is it that this was affected by the overdrive? And he may say, well, when you go into overdrive, it drops the RPMs way lower, and as a result of that, you're going to hear other noises much better than when we're running 3,000 RPM. So in third gear, you're at 3,000 RPM at 65 miles an hour, but as we lock up the converter and go into overdrive, I'm going to drop you down to 1,400 RPM, which is half the RPM, and now you can hear it better, but it's really there all the time.
Yeah.
So it could be that, but just take it by your shop. Noises, there's guys out there that can drive virtually any car and tell you what it is. And the first question we have to ask ourselves, is it related to the speed of the engine or the speed of the vehicle? That's, we have to get there first, and then after that, it's going to be easy to find the noise.
Yeah. Well, it's when you first, you know, you back out of the driveway and you're in the street and you give it gas, that's when you hear it, just for a little while.
Okay.
Just for a few seconds, actually. And then it goes away until you get up near 40 and go into overdrive, and then it'll come back.
Okay. Well, it's not going to be the cam sensor.
Okay,
because it has nothing to do with that. The cam sensor can't make a noise. And the cam sensor symptoms, if the cam sensor were installed wrong, you'd have a miss, you'd have a hard start, you'd have a hard hot start, or a hard cold start, you'd have a performance or drivability concern. This has, I mean, even if the cam sensor was hitting the cam, you'd have a clicking noise that does, and it would be there all the time that the motor was running. So,
yeah,
you know, wipe that from your head. Of course, I've been wrong before, John. So,
okay. Well, the thing that happened was it started the next morning after they put in the cam sensor. So, what else am I going to blame?
No, and you know what though, you bring up a great point. May I suggest to you that when you go back to them, you say to them, this is something I noticed after you got done working on my car. Now, what was the first thing I asked you? I asked you if it sounded like an alternator whine.
Yeah.
And here's why I ask you that, is because during this cam sensor change, they may have moved the harness that had your radio antenna cable close to a spark plug or a coil or the alternator.
Mm-hmm.
That's happened to us. So now we have a We got this whining noise that goes on, and all we did, and yes, it's not that the cam sensor changed it, it's we rearranged this harness and moved it 1 inch this way, and we should move it back. And so it is related. So when you go to your shop, John, just say to them, I know you can't tell me if this is what I would say to them. You can't really tell me if it's related to the cam sensor until you find out what it is. But I have had it since you worked on it last. So let's find out what it is. And once we know what it is, then we'll know whether I'm paying for it or whether you're paying for it. That's a nice way to say, let's work on this together. Because if you go in and say, I got this, you know, afterwards, and it's your fault and I want you to fix it, chances are you're going to meet with a little resistance.
Uh-huh.
All righty.
Would a synchronizer that's connected to that
2 minutes?
It, do you think? Or
no, it's not going to cause a noise unless it's touching. And if it's touching, it's going to be a clicking noise. And actually, after it touches about, for 2 minutes, then it's going to wear those two reluctors apart, and then there'll be no more noise. So you got to wipe that out of your mind. You just drive it and let them drive it with you and see what they say. All righty?
Okay, good, Mark, and thank you very much.
You bet, Sean. You bet. 602-508-0960. If you have a car question, I think we can help you. We can guide you. We can give you good information, what to say, what not to say. And the most important thing is the noise. That's a tough one. If I get complaints, and like all shops, I get complaints, but at least half of them have to do with you fix the wrong noise. And we now have a rule that if it's a noise, the technician who's going to work on the car has to drive with the customer. Because we need to know which noise you want to fix. Because all cars have wind noise and whining noises and thumping noises and clunking noises and all that kind of stuff. And those are the things that we're interested in. 602-508-0960. If you're a graduate from Tempe High School in 1972, your 40th anniversary is next weekend. So if you want to email me at mark@marksalem.com, I'll put you in touch with the people who can help you do that. Tempe High School, graduating class of 1972, which has the highest number of entrepreneurs of any class at Tempe High. Men and women who branched out and opened their own business. I don't know what it was. It must have been in the water. But the entrepreneurism of the class of 72 is unbelievable. Rarely does anybody work for somebody else. And I don't know if that's good or bad. Nevertheless, and our blog is azcvoices.com. That's Arizona Central, azcentral.com. azcvoices.com.
DNB Auto...
The mechanic raised up from under my hood and he shook his head and said, this ain't good. The timing belt's done shrunk, one size too small.
Welcome back, everybody. 21 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name's Mark Salem. For the next hour and 40 minutes, I guess it is, we'll be talking about cars, and you're welcome to join us, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Recently, there was a major car manufacturer that had a recall, and they're talking about fake airbags. And folks, this is going to be a very difficult transition. This is going to be a very difficult investigation. This is going to be something that's going to cost somebody a whole lot of money. But here's the problem. The problem is that there's some people out there that take airbags that have been blown. They get them out of the trash can at the auto body stores, at the body shops. What they do is they cut the airbag away, then they fold the four flaps where the horn ring is on your car. They fold the four flaps down, and then using a very technical glue, they put the thing back together. Now, it doesn't have an airbag in there, but for all intents and purposes, it looks like an airbag. Now, some of them even go to the point where they stuff the inside with the old airbag. So when you touch it, you feel that it's
full. Caller Harry.
All right. Now, there is no way anyone can know if your airbag's good or not. There's no way. It's just the only way to test it would be to pop it. And every time you pop an airbag, it's $1,000. That's exactly why it's important to find a good body shop, because there's Can you look at the risk and reward here? Harry, you hang on. I'm going to get to you in just a second. Look at the risk and reward. I'm going to find something I find in the trash. I'm going to fix it up and sell it for between $1,000 and $1,500. Risk and reward. Risk is small. Who's going to know? Unless that car needs the airbag. And then the driver's going to figure it out. But it's too late. So the reward is tremendous. So when you look at that, and you look at the big picture, you say, well, how are they going to know? I had my car wrecked 3 years ago. The body shop is out of business. How are we going to know if my airbag's good or not? And that's where it dovetails into where I said it's going to cost somebody lots of money. Because somebody's going to have to replace your bag. I don't think, and no one else can think, of a way they're going to be able to test your airbag unless they take it apart. And they're not going to take it apart, they're going to give you a new one. So you need to make sure, please make sure, that if you're going to have your car fixed, make sure that you deal with someone reputable. I won't install an airbag unless it's wrapped in cellophane from Chevrolet, Ford, Chrysler, Honda, Toyota. I'm not installing an airbag for no reason. I'm not going to buy one from somebody who stops by in front of my shop in a van that has, you know, California plates on it and happens to have, you know, a bunch of airbags for a Toyota Camry or a Ford Taurus or whatever. I'm not doing that. But there are guys out there that will, because, again, risk and reward. They can buy them for maybe $800, and they'll double their money because they can sell them for $1,600. But the first guy that glued them together, he made $800. So that's what's going on. So be careful about the airbags, and always insist, if you have an airbag replaced, that they put down the part number, and you can verify enough. Just ask them what dealership they bought it from and call them and say, did he buy this airbag, part number, within the last 10 days? Yes, he did on the 9th. Okay, thank you. My car was in on the 9th. Thank you very much. That's how we do it. Harry, how are you today, buddy? What can we do for you?
Just fine, Mark. Long-time listener.
Well, thank you.
I've got a couple questions. One is, we spend about 6 months out of the year up in Munns Park, Arizona. And do you have any preferred shops up in that area?
I don't. But here's what I do offer you. It's not that I haven't tried to find a shop up there, because there's many families that, like you, spend up the summer up north, or they've got kids at NEU. And if you go to our website, marksalem.com, and on the best car repair page, if you scroll down, there are three links there that you can check the shop out. Another thing, too, is you can always type the name of the shop. For instance, my shop, Mark Salem. You can, and say, Mark Salem Reviews. And it will give you reviews for any business, no matter who they are. The idea is that nobody up there can actually match the criteria, can make the criteria. They can't make our filters. Now, some of the stuff's easy. It's like you have to be in business under the same ownership for 5 years. And some of them just don't have the 5 years. Some of them have to have a great record at the Better Business Bureau. And a couple of them may have C's, and we don't take C's. We take B's and A's. But if you go to ASE, Adam Sam Edward, ASECert.org, I think it's called, you can look to see if they're a Blue Seal shop. That's a point in their direction. You can go to AAA and see if they're a AAA shop. Although I don't agree with being a AAA shop, that gives AAA members some comfort. But that comfort isn't extended to not AAA members, non-AAA members. So if I'm a AAA member and I go to a AAA shop and I have a spat, I'm going to get my money back because I worked for them for a long time as a shop owner, and if you had a card, you were right, I was wrong. The flip side of the coin is if you're not a AAA member, then they won't pay attention to you. Another thing, too, is that you can look for those shops to see if they're a member of our ASA Association, Automotive Service Association. That's going to be something. And then you can also check their Better Business Record. If you find a shop up there and you think that they're really, really good, they're well, and here's another way you can do too, Harry. Call some of the auto parts stores on a Sunday morning. I'm not real sure O'Reilly's and AutoZone is a place I'd go. I'd go to the Napa store. I'd go to the CarQuest store. I'd go to the Independence up there. And I would just call two or three times and hope you get a different guy and say, what's the name of a shop you take your car to? Who pays their bills on time? Who doesn't order 10 parts and return 4? Who's the best guy in town? Who's your best customer? Not because of volume of dollars, but the guy that just plays by the rules. Because, truthfully, they know. Now, you wouldn't ask a tow truck driver that because oftentimes in our industry, the tow truck drivers are spiffed by what they bring in. So that's probably not an area you'd want to go because not very many shops are going to spiff a driver to bring in a tow. If it comes here, it comes here, and if it doesn't, it doesn't. But I don't want to feel like I have to spiff you $50 and then I got to make it up on the customer. So that's a dilemma that we face. So if you find somebody that you really think good, you can nominate them, and we'd be happy to look at them. And if they comply, you know, it'd be the first Flagstaff shop we have, and I'd like that.
Yeah, well, I can try those avenues. I usually, if it's not too serious, I just drive down and take it to my regular car guy. But
yeah,
I was just wondering if up there, you know, sometimes if you do have a breakdown, it could, you know, you're gonna have to take it into somebody other than the dealer, and go that route.
It's the same way with me, Harry. I know exactly because we spent a lot of time with our horses up in Payson. And when my truck broke down, I had to tow it home. and then my mom broke down at Flagstaff one time, and we were unable to find anybody who was capable of working on her Buick. And then I broke down in my motorhome one time up in Flagstaff on a Friday night. And no one would or could help me till Monday morning. So you know what I did is I called all my guys and said, load the van, bring an air compressor, and da-da-da, and we're going to change the fuel pump in my motorhome up here. And God bless them, they all came up. So you don't have that option because you don't know the guy's phone numbers. But you can understand that sometimes you just have to go home.
Right, so. Yeah. Well, I just kind of look ahead and see if there's anything that, like I say, if there's something, you know, I have a problem with it, I just take it when I come down to Phoenix.
Yeah.
Take it into...
Just check them out on the internet. If you find somebody nice, nominate them. We'll be right back right after this.